Heavenly Father, just as we have rightly sang from our lips this morning, that you renew a right spirit within us, O God, because we know without you we are helpless, and that's why we've come before you today. Thank you for the blessings you poured on our hearts in the Sunday school. Thank you for your presence we felt in the worship service. The hour has come, Heavenly Father, where we want to speak about you. We ask, may you come down in our midst this morning, and may you do this speaking. Anything that will stand as an obstacle, that will hinder your blessings from us this day, we bring under the blood, O God. The people that are not here due to one reason or the other, we pray, may you be with them. Take preeminence of this service, that we all have your testimony that through them we'll be in your presence. As we commit ourselves from the pulpit down to the pews, into your able hands, that you make use of us as a seamless sight in your sight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're all welcome to the house of God this morning. As we remain standing, let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16. Deuteronomy, chapter 16. Deuteronomy, chapter 16. We're going to read the first 7 verses. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1 to verse 7. Can you hear me at the back? Okay. The Bible said, "Be observe the month of Abib," which Brother Abraham told us the month of Abib is the month of April. He said, "Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God, of the flock and the herd, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Amen. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coasts 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificed the first day at even remain all night until the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go into thy tents." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can please have your seat. This morning, God helping us, I want to speak on this subject, God's only provided place of worship. Amen. God's only provided place of worship. Amen. Brother Abraham made us to understand, and we can also testify to it today, that in the human heart, there is a longing. Amen. He said, whether you be Methodist, whether you Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Message believers, in the human heart, there is a longing trying to find that one true way. Amen. He said, and many people in their churches and denominations are being told by their priests and pastors that they are the true way. And the priests make them understand that there is no salvation outside your church. There is no salvation outside you being in the Catholic, that's what the priests of the Catholic Church will say. Other denominations, their preachers, their pastors will tell them there is no salvation outside the church that you attend. And some people also say there is no salvation outside being in the message. We've heard a lot about that. But this morning, they say if we take their own ideas, some of them won't admit it, but they do it by their action. You say your actions speak louder than your words. You say, in other words, many times they are more of a hypocrite than even the Catholic Church. He said, and I believe that's the only thing, but they won't accept it. But they hide it, but your actions prove what you are thinking. Now, there's got to be one place, because there is a desire in the human heart to find that one place that God has chosen. And I think that the Word of God have an answer for everything that we have need of. God's Word have an answer for everything that we have need of. So God's answer is for us to search in the scriptures, for us to find that place that God has chose to place his name. Watch my topic this morning, God's only provided place of worship. It's not two places. It's not three places. But God has chosen one place to place his name in. And every true worshiper that has to come back to God has got to come through that one place and that one place alone. And we find that the book of Deuteronomy that we read from, the prophet made us understand that the word Deuteronomy means two laws. How many of us know that? Deuteronomy means two laws. So now I will tell you what that law is this morning. One of them is obedient to the word and live. That's one. The second one is disobedient to the word and die. That's what it means. And that's the two laws. Deuteronomy means these two laws. And they are both absolutely displayed to us in the scripture that we read. One of them is death and the other is life. And we know that God deals only in life. Follow my foundation this morning so that you get where I'm going. God deals only in life. And Satan deals in death. And these two was displayed to the world publicly before our eyes. And there's no excuse for it. One of them was displayed on Mount Sinai when Moses was given the law, which condemned the whole human race to death. That was what the Lord did. And the other was displayed in Mount Calvary that brought the whole human race to life. When the penalty was paid in Jesus Christ, the two laws of Deuteronomy was fulfilled in these great things. Now, I want you to also imagine or notice here as we go further that also there were two covenants. One covenant was given to Adam. And that covenant was based on conviction. If you will touch this, I will do this. That was the covenant that God gave to Adam. And that was under the law. But there was another covenant that was given to Abraham. Are you following me this morning? Another covenant was given to Abraham, which was by grace, unconditionally. God told Abraham, I have already done it. I'm not looking at what you will do. I don't need your effort. I don't need your help. I don't need your ideas. I have already done it. I have saved you and your seed after him. So that is a type of Calvary. Not the type of Adam covenant, but the type of covenant that God had with Abraham, which is by grace. And I want us to look this morning, what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. A favor that is given to you that you do not deserve. A favor that's given to you that you did not work for. But God, rich in mercy, he bestowed that favor unto you. But now we hear him say there is only one place One place where he will meet man to worship. We read it right here in the scriptures. Then if there's only one place that God meets man, we need to be very careful. Let us lay aside our traditions. Let us lay aside our thinking, our Sunday school lesson. Let's be very sure that we find that one place. Because God has said here, he will not receive you in any other place other than that place where he, God, chose to put his name in. He won't receive you not in your church, not in your denominations, not in what you think about, but where he, God, has chosen. You might come and say, oh, Brother Marion, I am sincere. The prophet said, no, God does not deal with sincerity. Did you get that? So many people say, oh, but you can see my heart, I'm sincere. Watch that. Remember, Jesus talked to so many sincere people. The worshippers of his day, they were sincere. But what did Jesus tell them? In vain you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. But they were sincere. He was talking about their denominational creed. Sincere reverently, just as religious as they can be. And that wasn't just new. That was with the Pharisees. And it did not only end with them. Cain and Abel, the very first two worshippers that was born natural birth on here, absolutely came in the same attitude. Cain was just as religious as Abel. Both built altars. They both loved God. Many people think Esau did not love God, or maybe Cain did not love God. But the prophet is telling us that he loved God. They both made sacrifices. They both worshipped. They both did all they need to do. They did everything just alike. But Abel, by faith. You cannot just catch faith in the air. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing my opinion. Hearing the word of God. So there is a part that hearing has got to do with it. Abel, by faith, which is vindicated, Cain made an offering, but God did not vindicate it. God required worship, and Cain made the offering, and God did not accept it. You might say now, wait a minute. God interprets his own word. I want you to follow me this morning. I won't take much of your time. But God interprets his own word. God doesn't need you to help him interpret his word. When God says anything, he is big enough and able to interpret it himself. When he said, let there be light, he didn't need your help to bring the light. When he said, let there be, there was. God interprets his own word, follow me, church, by its terms that he, God, spoke it in. He said, Cain might have said, I'm religious. I'm a lover of my maker. I offer this fine altar. I offer to you this sacrifice. I built all these things, Lord, because I love you. Abel said the same thing. Now, is the one that's vindicated, that's the one that's proven. And God came down and received Abel's sacrifice because by revelation, he has struck the true channel of God and he was accepted. Amen. Now, watch that Cain spirit come right down through the scripture here on the very last day, just as fundamental as the other one was. Look at Prophet Balaam. And look at Prophet Moses. I'm jumping here so that we could get to where I'm going before time goes. Both of them built 7 altars. Jehovah's altars. Blood on each one. Not only that, but rams on each one. And they did it exactly as the way God has instructed them. As fundamental as one was, the other one was also. But who did God vindicate? The one that was in his word. Fundamental doesn't mean too much. It's the revelation of God. And what is revelation this morning? Revelation is a gift of God to his children. You cannot just catch revelation on the air. It's a God-given gift to his children. He said, now, if I taught you a Methodist message, it will take no effect on you. This is the bright time. Noah's message will not do it now. Moses' message will not do it now. We are in another dispensation. We have passed that level. This is the bright age. The only thing that will catch the rainbow trout is the message of the hour, as given to us by William Marion Branham. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings by that. What is the truth? Listen, if Moses taught the message of Noah, it will take no effect. If Jesus taught the message of Moses, it will take no effect. Because the predestinated seed that is laying there will be watered by that type of water that will give the seed life. It won't grow under any other condition. It must be the condition that it grows by. Listen, that is the way we are today, the age that we are living in. You've got to find what God is doing for this age. You've got to find God's provided way for this day. And that God's provided way has been given to us by his prophet, William Marion Branham. Many people say, oh, you are following a man. Well, let me tell you something this morning. Man is meant to be led. When you are reading the book of Genesis, who are you following? There was a time the children of Israel told Moses and said, you know, it's just too much on you. It's just too much. We are as spiritual as you think you are. We want to also hear from God. This God that talks to you all the time can also speak to us. So Moses, let God come and talk to us. Moses told God, this is what the people are saying. God said, it's not a problem. I will come down. But you know, God is always rich in mercy. He gave them instructions on how to get ready for his visitation. If they were not ready, they would have packed them all dead. Because you cannot just come to God's presence any way you like. You've got to be ready to be prepared to come to his presence. So what did God do? He sent the same prophet back to them. The Lord God will do nothing. But he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophet. He said, Moses, go and tell them. This is what they need to do. They need to wash their clothes. Don't come before their wives. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do you get where I'm going with that? Many people say you are preaching do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts is part of God's way of life. God will tell you, don't do this. Thou shalt not commit adultery. What is that? Don't. Thou shalt not do this. Don't. You must do this. Do. Repent and be baptized in the name of, oh my God. God bless you, brother. He said, do. Amen.
If you don't like do's and don'ts, then go out and live anyhow. You will be behind bars. You are free today because you obey do's and don'ts. Am I not right? You are sitting here today because you obey do's and don'ts. If you think it's not right, get on the road, get in your car, and go 100 miles an hour. And see whether you'll be a free man. We need to be very careful what we say about the Word of God. The Word of God is given to us to obey. It's not given to us to tamper with. Once you tamper with it, you are on your own. It's no more God's Word. Don't come at me and say you preach do's and don'ts. You live by the letter. What will I live by? When God was telling Abraham, teach your children. What was it? Let's go ahead. My time is not on my side. Listen. He said now, the way it is in this age we are living in, you've got to find out what God is doing and the way he's doing it for this age. That's what Martin Luther found. That's what John Wesley found. That's what the Pentecostals found. And God's age and time to do it. Now, God is not the author of denominations. Because denomination is Babylon. And he is not the author of confusion. Anywhere you find confusion, God is not the author of it. You don't have to even intellectually to see that. It's a tradition. Think of it, sincere people. Now, still because they believe that, there still needs to be one sincere place where God meets. Now, notice in verse 2. Worship in the place, the scripture what we read. Worship in the place that I have chosen. When a father is talking to his child, he is not seeking the opinion of the child. He is giving instruction to the child. And what is the purpose of that? To make that young boy to grow up to be a responsible man. Are you getting me this morning? The same thing when God gives us his word. He's not concerned about your feelings. Are you getting me? He's giving us instructions for us to make the rapture. So for you to make it, you've got to obey God's word. And God is not man. You can tell your father, but daddy, I tried. I did like 80% of what you said. That is not a pass mark with God. God's pass mark is to keep his word to the letter the way he gave it to you. Listen. Worship in the place that I have chosen. The sacrifice, of course, where they worship, where they sacrifice, the place that I'm stressing that this morning. The place that I have chosen, not what you choose, not what you think, but what I have chosen. You worship in that place. That shows there be only one place. Others is vain. So when it comes to the word of God, your opinion does not count. When it comes to God's word, your thinking does not count. Your tradition does not count. The only thing that counts is what God has said. It must not be the place of your choice. It must be his choice. You might say, well, I don't have to go to church. The prophet said, you are narrow-minded. You even fuse at women preaching. They are talking about him now. He said, women bobbing their hair, men about this or the other. You are so narrow-minded. He said, all right, you don't have to take God's way about it. You go on out the way you want to go about it. And you will find that in the scripture,
In vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So the only thing that can stand the test of time is God's word, the way he gave it. In this our day, remember, Jesus could not have come with Noah's message. He said Noah could not have come with Moses' message. It was not for that day. The same thing in this day. This is not the time to build an ark. This is not the time to pull a ram and lay your hands upon it and confess your sins and kill the ram. This is not the time. This is the time that God has sent a vindicated prophet, and he told that prophet, store the messages, because rapturing faith lays in the message. Rapturing faith does not lay in your ideas. It lays in the message. So our actions, our reactions, if you want to be right, go back to the message. Go back to what he says. Go back to God's plan for your day.
I hope you don't get upset with me this morning. Listen. Every little jot, everything you must be faithful in. Every little jot, every word you must be faithful in. It's always the little vine, the little foxes that spoils the vine. Sometimes you might leave the little things that you leave undone. Those are the things that matters. You do get that? Every single bit of the word of God has got to be obeyed. There is no minute, there is no big one. Everything is God's word. Many people run after mysteries and their life is zero. Oh, we don't want to preach do's and don'ts. I will read what somebody told the prophet here. Listen. He said now, remember a chain is only the strongest at its weakest link. Say, blessed are they that do all the commandments of God, that they might have a right to enter in. Do all God said. If he said for women to have long hair, do it. A man told me long time ago, listen here. A man told me long time ago, he said, I don't preach a clothesline religion. He was telling the prophet, I don't want to bore the people out in what they wear. I don't preach a clothesline religion. And I told him, then you are not preaching the gospel. You are not preaching the gospel. He said, that's right. God laid it out there. He said what to do. You either do it and be saved, or don't do it and die. The two laws, you remember? You either do it and be saved, or don't do it and die. You cannot bribe God. You cannot use your tears to bribe God. You cannot use, oh, I'm sincere, to bribe God. It's either you do it and be saved, or don't do it and die. The MS are dying down. This is the time for us all to prick ourselves. This is the time for us to look at each other in the eye and tell ourselves the truth. We have the opportunity right now. There's coming a time when it will be over. But now that we can do it, this is the time. Why do we come to church? To set up with our life. When the word of God comes, it corrects you. It's not a time to pick offense. It's not a time to say, I don't like that preacher. It's a time for you to make your life right and journey on. But many times we try to give excuses on why we want to do what is wrong. Two laws. Obey and live. Or disobey and die. Listen, God laid it out there. He said what to do. It's your natural, reasonable thing. A little insignificant. Jesus said, blessed are they that will take all the little things, do the little thing, and a woman to let her hair grow. Why? It's just something she can do.
And she won't even do that. She won't even, oh, teach us great things is what people want to say. Come and teach us mysteries. How can I teach you mysteries when you cannot keep your homes together? How can I teach mysteries when you cannot keep your homes together? We behave like Americans when we are not. We behave like Africans when we are not. It's Americans that go to divorce court. The word of God said, from the beginning, it was not so. When you marry that woman, it's until death do you part. Oh, Brother Mary, you don't know what she's doing to me. I can guarantee you, before you married her, you had a testimony. You had a dream. You had a vision. Let that vision stand true today. You know, we've had so many wonderful dreams and testimony. When you've not married her yet, oh, sister, you know, I was just praying and I went into a trance. The Lord showed me we're in a white place. And I was carrying a luggage and you just came and helped me. Oh, it seemed so lighter when you were helping me. All those things are good. When you end up marrying the lady and things are rough, remember that vision. She's got to help you to make it lighter. Instead of her helping you to make it lighter, if she's putting pressure on it to make it heavier, there is a God provided way for that. Go on your knees. Not divorce court. There was a servant of God one time that married a bad woman. You see, church, let me tell you, we are privileged people. All that we have need of to make it, God has placed them somewhere. Are you getting it? It's just for us to take that and put ourselves there and obey God's word. This, I think it was Wesley. He had a nagging wife. The wife always nagging. You know what Wesley did? He could be enjoying himself as having maybe a fresh hair, just having a nice time. Once he hear a voice coming, he goes on his knees and start praying. Because while he's there, she won't disturb him. You know what that did to Wesley? Spend more time with God. So you do the same. Instead of you taking time to respond back and talk, go on your knees. He said it will not work. Trust me. If praying inside would not work, pray out. Let her hear that you are mentioning her name before God. Say, God, please help my wife. Bless her. She's a wonderful woman. You know you gave me the best. She will change. Listen, Brother Abraham said here, he said, how can you teach the great things when you won't do the simple things? Say, common things, because your motive and your objective is wrong. Say, it's choosing the place that I have chosen, not you, but God has chosen. That's where you worship with your sacrifice. You see, Cain brought his sacrifice, Abraham brought his. It depends on what place you take it into. If you take it into the place where he is chosen, it's all right. He will accept it. If it's not, it will turn you down. I don't care if it's the same sacrifice. Whatever it is going to be rejected unless it's brought to one certain place. And you say, oh, where is that place, Brother Marion? God did not choose to place his name in a church.
He did not choose to place it in Catholic, in Methodist, in ICBF.
He placed it in one place, in Christ.
That is where he has chosen to meet man. It's in Christ.
He said, now, we find out where we want to bring this sacrifice. We all want to go to heaven, don't we? We know we've done wrong. We all believe that Jesus is the sacrifice. Now we want to know where to take him. It will be accepted. So the Bible tells us where to take him at, and it will be accepted. Outside of that,
don't worry, I'm watching time. I will soon stop.
Outside of that, outside of Christ, it will not be accepted. Let us notice here also that the place he chose for the sacrifice to be laid, the place he chose to put the sacrifice, you can't put it out at the outer gates. But the place that he chose, what is he saying? It's got to be according exactly as he said it. And that same Christ has come down in our generation. That same Christ has walked the streets of our time.
How many of us were in church on Wednesday? God bless you. If you miss Wednesday service, listen to that service.
That same God that doesn't, you can't keep secrets away from him, has walked this day through the man called William Marion Branham. On Wednesday, we had a brother that happened to be in the service of the prophet. A brother that had a situation, that had a letter he got from his wife, that his wife was sick, and he had the letter in his coat pocket, and he didn't tell anybody. He was there worried on what he's going to do about this situation. He couldn't tell no one. But let me tell you, God knew about it. And when the prophet came, they called him up by his name. He called him out by his name. Told him about the letter in his pocket. Told him that your wife, far away in Jamaica, is healed. Every great ministry has three pools. You find that even the time of Jesus, there were three pools. Okay? There was a time he was healing the sick. There was a time he was turning fishes and feed thousands. And people were running after him. But that was not the purpose of his coming. Do you get that? All the first and second pool was a bait to cause an attraction for people to know that something is going on here because God is about to unveil something. But people get carried away by the first and second pool. We find that in Brother Branham's ministry. The first pool, everybody loved him. Everybody wanted him to come preach for them. The second pool, oh man, it was top on the charts. But that was not the purpose. That was just to cause an attraction. To let the people know that there's something going on here. When everybody now knew about Jesus, one day he dropped the bombshell. Except you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you have no part in me. People begin to look and say, what is he talking about? Eat your flesh, drink your blood. What do you take me for? They begin to leave. They begin to leave. See, our God calls for separation. Our God doesn't want mixers. He wants separators. But among all that crowd, there were still some that did not go. They were there with Jesus. And Jesus looked at them and said, what are you waiting for? Won't you go? You think they understood what they say, eat my flesh and drink my blood? They didn't understand. But they know that there was something. A child of God can never be deceived. They know there was something about this man. And Peter responded, said, to whom shall we go? Say, you have the words of eternal life. We find that played out in our day. When the Thought Pool ministry begin to operate, people begin to say, oh, you begin to do wrong things. You begin to preach what is wrong. They said that about Jesus. But you know one thing about the Thought Pool? It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. The Thought Pool is for a special people. The Thought Pool is to catch the rainbow trout. Oh my goodness. You know when a fisherman goes to fish, right? Throws his nets and he pulls out, he gets all sorts. There are tadpoles, there are frogs, there are snakes, there are fishes. But you didn't call him a snake man. Call him a fisherman. So when he has pulled all to the shore, he begins to select what he wants. The tadpole throw them back in the water. The snake throw them back in the water. He takes the fish home. The same thing this message is doing. This message is looking for that bride. This message is not going to call everybody. It's calling the bride. There are some that will come close to it. But you are not supposed to come close to it. You are supposed to come into it. You know what this message is? Christ. I hope you get what I'm saying. This message is Christ. In this day, he has chosen to put his name in Christ. I hope you get that. That is the only place where God will meet you for worship. That is the only place where he will reveal himself to you. You begin to wonder what is happening today. The bride is not surprised because you have been told. We know. That's why we are not worried about politics. We are not worried if it's a Republican or a Democrat. It makes no difference. Whosoever gets in there will do what God has ordained him to do. Church, our hope should not be here. Our hope should be above. We should endeavor every passing moment of our life to make sure that our life is right according to his word. That affects us as individuals. It affects us as families. It affects us as a local assembly. We should try to stay with the message. Now, if you get everything running right, it's going to run perfectly in order. If you get everything running right, it will run perfectly in order. If there's a shot in that wire, that light won't come on. I believe I'm talking to a matured audience. If there's a shot in that wire, that light won't come on because it's been grounded. And when you take one of God's word or one of his places in your heart and have a selfish objective, it will ground the power of God right there. If you do it because you want to be smart, you want to be different from somebody else or something, right there, it's grounded. It will blow the fuse. You are wrong. You've got to come with sincerity, with all your heart, your motives, and your objectives, place right on God's word, then search for a place where he has chosen to place his name and see him meet you there. Church, we are not following cunningly devised fables. God has vindicated himself in our day. He has made himself real. But you know what God will not do? God will not force you to do what is right. God is obligated to bring you to see what is right. And you have a right to choose whether you will do it or not. It's your right. You have that right. God gave you that right to choose whether you will do it or not. But remember, whatsoever side you lean to, there is a consequence. If you choose to obey, you live. If you choose to disobey, you die. See, God doesn't. There is no try to understand with God. It's either A or B. That is God's way. So we have no excuse, church. We've been brought to recognize God's move in our day. What God needs from me and you is for us to stay in line. One time, there were some men that were ministers that withstood Moses. And Moses went to God and God said, separate yourself. Separate yourself. God will not come and struggle with you. Just separate yourself. Moses went. Who is on the Lord's side? Come this side. It wasn't Moses. He was carrying God's instruction. That is why I feel for people today that try to argue with the prophet. I feel for people today that try to say the prophet is wrong in this. You know why that happens? Because we are Gentiles. We don't know the importance of a prophet. Are you getting me? A Jew will never argue with their prophet because they know who they are. Prophets are not just ordinary human beings. They are ordained, they are made special. They don't speak their own thoughts. They are made to speak the mind of God. So who are you to argue with a prophet? Who are you to come and say, this is what I will take. I won't take this. Who are you? You know what he said? You are free to do so. The two laws. God's only provided place of worship is in Christ Jesus. That is the only place God has provided. You find Brother Abraham never at any time pointed us to himself. Oh my, I wish I had a little bit more time. Will you give me more time? Just a few minutes. When Eliezer went for Rebekah, while they were traveling, what was Eliezer doing? He was giving Rebekah the message of the hour. Are you getting me? He was telling Rebekah about Isaac. He was telling Rebekah, you see, maybe she had on heels. You see that heels you're wearing? Isaac doesn't like it. You know what a good wife will do? Exactly what Rebekah did. You see that thing you're doing? Isaac doesn't like it. God, forgive me. Put it aside. That she was preparing. How did she prepare herself? By the words of Eliezer. You know why? Because Eliezer knows Isaac. Do you know where I'm going with this? Eliezer knows Isaac. So he was preparing Isaac's bride so that by the time she called before Isaac, it will be perfectly what Isaac wants. And the same thing has happened in our day. God has sent an Eliezer by the name of William Branham and has given him specifications of what he wants. What he wants his bride to look like. He gave us those specifications in conduct and in order and in doctrine for the bride to prepare herself thereby. So by the time she comes before her Isaac, it's exactly what the Isaac wants. You might prove to be stubborn. You might say, oh, I'm not going to listen to what he's saying. But let me tell you something. Your unbelief will not hinder God. Your unbelief will hinder you from getting your blessings, but God's program stands. So if you as an individual don't want to obey God's word, let me tell you something this afternoon, that he has a bride somewhere. There is somebody somewhere. There is somebody somewhere in the jungle. Somewhere that you may not even think about, that is getting itself ready by that word. Not by ideas, not by what you think, not by man's opinion, but by that word. His bride has made herself ready. My question to you this afternoon, are you ready? Are you ready? Remember, it's not going to come for nothing else apart from that word. Book of St. John said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and that word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and that word has been produced again in our generation. It's not going to take anything short of that word. You know, she's not just an ordinary bride. I'm trying to close here. She's not just an ordinary bride. She is a word bride. Amen. Don't criticize me. Don't call me names that I go by the letter. You know those letter? Let's rapture in faith. When you read it and God blesses it into you, it becomes life. Church, this is what is going to transform us. This is what we are going to make ourselves ready by. I can come here and preach you a good sermon. If it's not the word, it's not going to do you no good. See, through the foolishness of preaching, God is getting himself, his people, ready. Don't ever get to a time that you get tired of this. Don't ever get to a time that you're looking for something new. Don't be like Eve. Eve was out there looking for new knowledge. What did it cause? Death. If she had stayed by God's word. I'm closing. God is not man. I'm trying my best to convey something out. God is not man. When God says anything, he means it. It's not for you to try to understand how he will do it, because you can never figure it out. What God needs from me and you is, God said it, I obey. He does the working out. When he sees that obedience in you, he does the working out. I pray God give us revelation. Watch the marriage at Canaan. When water was finished, or when wine was finished, Mary knew who he was. There's something about revelation. When you have revelation, when you know something, you don't fight it. It's real to you. Mary knew who he was, went to him and said, wine is finished. And she left. She didn't tell him, do this. Take your burdens to God. Let him handle it. Let him handle it. Don't try to tell him how he should fix it. Because, see, we are all mortals. We don't know what's best. He knows what's best for us. Mary said, wine is finished. They need wine. And she left. And while she was going, she saw the servants. She gave them instruction, because they don't know him. They don't know him. But she knows him. She has told him the situation. And she went to the servant. See that man over there? You see that man? You see that man I'm talking about? Whatsoever he says to you, do it. Because probably Mary was not even thinking he would create turn water to wine. He wasn't thinking that, but he knows that whatsoever is the situation. See, God can do anything, church. But we need to obey. Probably Mary would have been thinking, okay, since the people want more wine, maybe God will just quench the taste of wine from them.
Maybe that's what she was thinking.
But she did the good thing to take the burdens to him. And she instructed. See that man? Whatsoever he say unto you, do it. That is the same instruction we'll be giving today, church.
And Jesus looked at his servant and said, come here. He said, those pots there, go and fill it with water.
Obedient servants. Are you getting me? Amen. They were not asking Jesus, sir, it's wine. That's not what Mary said. Mary said, whatsoever. It may look ridiculous. It may look unreasonable. But if God has said it, it's meant for you to obey. You can say, I obey all I want. If you are not doing it, you don't obey. You don't believe it.
Jesus says, that water pot, put water in it. They went
in obedience. It's not like America today. You must explain.
Ask your kids anything. Tell them something. Why? Tell your son, sit down there. But why? I used to tell my son when I was a kid, they're not questioning your father.
Your father look at you in a particular way. You know. You better arrange yourself. You know.
You try that with your kids. Daddy, what's wrong with your eye?
That is the generation we find ourselves. That is why we've got to teach our children the importance of obedience to the word of God.
Church, you can have all the money in the world. You can have give your kids all the education in the world. But until they have Jesus, a life without Jesus is a wasted life. So as we endeavor to work hard for our children, as we endeavor to give them the best education, let us endeavor to give them Christ. Let's point them to Christ.
They went and put the water in the pot. I'm closing. Put the water in the pot. I said, Master, we've done as you said.
The next thing he told them, go serve it.
Maybe if it was me, I would question, did you hear what we needed? Wine, not water. No, I'm saying this thing just for us to come to something to know that when God speaks, he's not asking for your idea or your interpretation. He's asking for you and me to obey. Amen. Jesus said, go ahead and serve it. And they went to the same pot that they put water in. They took from it. They served it. What was the testimony? Why did you keep the good wine for the last? It's the same God today. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. All he needs from me, as ministers, as deacons, as trustees, as husbands, as wives, as children, is complete obedience to his word. Complete obedience to the word he has given to us through William Marion Branham. Complete obedience to this Bible. Brother Branham did not leave this Bible. Everything he preached is right inside the page of this Bible. You want God's blessings? Stay with this word. You want God's approval? Stay with this word. You want to live? Stay with this word. You want promotion? Stay with this word. You want finances blessed? Stay with this word. You want progress in life? Stay with this word. Because this word is Christ. Oh, how else am I going to say, church? This word is Christ. His thoughts towards us are thoughts of good and not of evil to give us an expected end. In whatsoever situation you find yourself, come to Papa Jesus. Amen. Come to Papa Jesus. He will make your situation good. Amen. But the problem we have American spirit. We try to question God's word. You disobey. You die. But you obey. You live. What is your decision? The word of God is in your hands this afternoon. What will you do with it? Don't look at the person next to you. Look at yourself. Me. Look at yourself. The word of God is no respecter of persons. When we come to his presence, we are all his children. From the pulpit, from the man speaking, to the pew, everyone is under the subjection of God's word. Even myself, I have to come to full obedience
of God's word. No one is left out. No individual is left out. No family is left out. No church is left out. If you want to live, stay by that word. How many we can go through the Bible? For Naaman to get his blessings, he got to dip 7 times. 6.5 didn't get him there. But the 7th time, God's word. Church, go. Think about these things. Wife, think about it. Husband, think about it. Church, think about it. Any way you find yourself lacking, if you want God's blessings, stay. Come back. That is the only place where God will meet you, is with his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away unfulfilled. True success is in Christ. If you need something to put assurance on, don't put your hope in a man. Man will fail you. If you need something to rest on Jesus. Rest on Jesus. Shall we rise on our feet? Shall we rise on our feet? Are you having problems in your home? Rest on Jesus. Call Jesus on the scene. Follow his word. Don't point accusing fingers. She, he. Remember, when you point one finger, the other 4 are pointing at you. God's word is for us to obey. How many of us here this afternoon, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, we say, Lord, help me. Lord, I need your help. Heavenly Father, look at the hands of your children everywhere in this building. Mine is up also. We can't help ourselves. Your word has come, the way it has come today. We pray, Lord Jesus, may you help us to stop, retrace our steps, and make sure that we find that place where you have chosen to put your name in. There you have promised to meet with us. Father, Lord, forgive our shortcomings, mistakes, failures. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be surrendered totally to you. Because as we find ourselves on this journey, the only thing that can get us ready is this word, not our ideas. Help us, oh God. Be with us, Heavenly Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. God's only provided place of worship is in Jesus Christ. And the message of the hour that we have today is Christ. Anointed one. Stay with the message. Stay with Christ. Hide under the blood where the devil can do you no harm. When you are in Christ, you are protected. You are safe. You are secure. But when you step out, you're on your own. There is a song I want us to sing. That song just dropped right in my heart to sing it after service, and then Brother Kwashi sang it. I was like, God, thank you. Will your anchor hold in the storm of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tide lifts and the cable strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? Do we have that? Can we have that on the board? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fasting to the rock, that rock is Christ, which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. You know the song? Oh my. How many of us know the song? It's hymn number 245. I don't know if we have it on the board. We have an anchor. Brother Kwashi sang it today. Oh my, we don't know it. If we have it on the board, then we can try. Do we? Oh my. 245. Yeah, on this book, 245. Oh yeah, thank God.
Okay. I'm going to try to start. And I'm not a good singer, but just go with me. Brokwash, you're going to help me. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fast into the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and in the Savior. Hallelujah, we have that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fast into the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Oh, will your anchor in the storm song? Oh, when the cloud hung for the wind on, will the strong tide lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor drift off them? Hallelujah, we have an anchor that gives steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fast into the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Oh, it will save me, will the storm withstand, for it's well secured by the Savior. And the cable, oh, from his heart to mine, can defy the blast through strength. Hallelujah, we have an anchor that gives steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fast into the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Oh yes, it will firmly hold in the streets of fear when the breakers have told the reef. Oh, though the tempest reef and the wild wind blow, not that shall abide. Hallelujah, we have an anchor that gives the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fast into the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Oh, it will surely in the flood of death, when the water goes chill-a-lated. Oh, on the rising tide, it can never fail, while our hopes abide within. Hallelujah, we have an anchor that gives the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fast into the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Oh, when
in a high, behold, through the gathering night, the city of God, our harbor, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forever. Hallelujah, we have an anchor that gives us hope, steadfast and sure, while the billows roll. Fast into the rock, which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the sea.
It will surely hold in the floods of death. When the waters cold chill our latest breath, on the rising tide it can never fail, while our homes abide within the veil. Church, we have an anchor that keeps the soul. It's not you that's keeping the anchor, it's the anchor that is keeping you. Brothers and sisters, make sure that you are in Christ. Make sure that anchor has a hold on you. And that anchor is Christ. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Does your anchor hold? Are you steadfast? Do you know where you're standing with Jesus Christ today? Amen. He's with us. Your actions. You can say a lot of things, but your actions are showing what you're believing. So watch what your actions are, because it's testifying what's inside of you every day that you live. Amen. Just ask yourself the question, would I want people to live like me? Would you? Ask yourself the question, do I want my children to act like me? Do I want my wife to act like me? Put yourself under a little stress, if it is. Because when you're by yourself, those actions that you take all by yourself when nobody's around, that's you. Not when you're in church, not when the blessings are coming down, it's when you're all alone. Would I want them to be like me now? Think about that as you go. God's only provided place of worship is in His Word. And if you're in His Word all the way, you'll be happy to witness. Come see what I have. Look what God's done for me every moment. Let God provide that place in you. Amen. He's such a wonderful Lord Jesus. Amen. As we sing maybe a little bit more of that in just a moment, I'm going to ask that we have several visitors here. God bless you for coming. You're welcome. We may not know you all by name, but if you see somebody different that you're not used to, shake their hands and say God bless you to them today and invite them to come back. But we're going to dismiss our officers of the church. Brother Ken will need to go on over and Brother Tim and get set up, and Sister Marina. And then the officers go first. And those of you that have already had your letter notarized, you just stay out of the way. And those, some of you may not know what's going on. But those who volunteered to write a letter on behalf of Brother Andy, those are the ones that need to go over. If you've not had your letter notarized, get that done so we can get it to the lawyer's office. Amen. You say, I really love the brother. Well, this is faith in action. The Bible says faith without works is dead. We're putting our works in writing, stamping, and praying. Amen. Let's just sing a little bit the anchor hole, Sister Cindy. I want the officers, the deacons, trustees, and then the deacons can come back to their positions. Let them go on over. Amen. 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 Let's sing the other one now, the anchor holes. I can't get that one yet. Brother Marion's have to do that one again. Amen. Is your anchor hole this morning? Amen. As our brothers go. The sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the stormy seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm.